Hello and welcome to another edition of Primetime Preps. Brad Caldwell here with my guy, my partner, my friend, Bill Harshaw.
Don't go too far there, Brad.
You know, Bill, yeah, we're stopping at friend. You know, Bill, I probably talk to you now as much as I talk to anybody.
Well, no, that's right. We have something going all the time, seems
like. All the time.
One way or the other, we always have something. Hey, did you see that highlight? Hey, did you see what so-and-so did?
Hey, can you get this done? Hey, can you get that done?
Can you get that done?
We got a lot going on. It's fun, though, man. It's a lot of fun. We're seeing a lot of good things happen here on Primetime Preps on ESPN, all the ESPN Arkansas platforms. Again, we'd like to remind you to go and like and subscribe to our podcast. Make sure that you give us 5 stars and go like the Facebook page on Hit That Line. And also, we'd love for you to indulge us in going to our own page at the Arkansas Sports Network. We've got a lot going on. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, there's a lot going on here with Arkansas Sports Network. Between going to games that we can go to when we can go to them, and you know all of our other prior responsibilities, we have a lot on our plate. But we're trying to bring it to you so that you have a lot to know .
Yep, and here we are, man, another week of Primetime Preps. This is episode 7, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, this is 7, man.
You know, we didn't think we were going to make it to 5, and here we are at 7. And, it's just pretty amazing. I'm just excited. We're excited to be a part of this. And, man, we have got a packed show. And I mean, when I say packed, we've got a packed show. And, you know, we've had some cool guests on here. I'm not sure that you will meet a guest that knows more about Arkansas high school football than, well, the almanac of Arkansas high school football.
It's in the name.
Leland Barclay, he's going to be joining us. And then we've also got Conway quarterback Ben Weiss as they get ready to move into the playoffs. Here it's playoff time, man. And then, of course, we've got a little bit of basketball as well coming up. Bill was at Hector this last week, and he got a chance to talk to Will Litton, and we're going to talk to him a little bit. There is
– learned something there tonight, Friday night. Went to that game knowing that Will Litton has been a repeat offender in our primetime performers throughout the course of our show. And I wanted to go see him in person, and I came away with something. I'm not going to give it away just yet. We'll wait for that interview. But there's a story there, Brad, and it's an interesting one.
I want to hear it. I'm excited to hear it. So, but we're going to get right to it. What went down in primetime last Friday night? And, of course, you know, most of the time we start with the big schools. And when you're talking big schools, I mean, you're talking about the back-to-back state champion Bryant Hornets. And, man, they went down and against Conway, a very good football team, mind you, hung 70. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the second time this year that they've hung 70 on a 7A opponent. The first one was Little Rock Southwest. You know, Little Rock Southwest is a first-year program. Daryl Patton, in a couple years, they won't be getting 70 hung on them. But they got 70 hung on them that night. But Conway, I mean, let's get real. I mean, Conway, they're a very good football team. Bryant went down there and got 70.
Yeah, Bryant, we know that Bryant's a good football team. They are a well-oiled machine. Austin Ledbetter is a very, very good athlete. And he has some very good athletes at his disposal to pick out of. So, you know, they took it to Conway. And like you said, Conway, we're going to talk to Ben Weiss here in just a few moments. But, you know, Conway is a good, good football team. They took it to Cabot a few weeks back. If you remember that game, Cabot had the lead at the half. Conway able to battle back and take the win from Cabot. And we know Cabot's a good team. So that just speaks volumes for Bryant.
That 7A Central is brutal. And, I mean, the second-best team in it right now, North Little Rock might have some say in that before it's all said and done, but you have to say it's North Little Rock, as they picked up a big 48-31 victory over those Cabot Panthers. And, you know, Cabot has been competitive with everybody. You know, Conway was a 52-49 game. And then that North Little Rock game, 48-31, not terribly competitive, but not too bad either. Didn't get blown out. Bryant is the only one other than North Little Rock that's really been able to get them by more than 2 or 3 points. And so Cabot's a very good team moving in to that playoff in the 7A. And really, you know, you're looking at those top four with the first two scores that we're doing here. That top four in the Central is ridiculously good.
Yeah, that's definitely a very tough conference to play in. So, you know, North Little Rock, Cabot, we knew that was going to be a good ball team and a good game. North Little Rock and Bryant, we saw both of those teams in person when Bryant took it to North Little Rock. And, of course, Bryant's doing that to everybody. But North Little Rock had something to prove, and they took it to Cabot.
Speaking of taking it to people, Greenwood, they do their thing yearly, and they finish another undefeated regular season. They are not very happy for the fact that they didn't even play for state championship last year. So they're trying to make it happen, and that's what they're on a mission to do. And they beat a good Lake Hamilton team, 38-28. You know, Lake Hamilton was right in that ball game. Greenwood was able to pull it out. I think Lake Hamilton probably showed as much as Greenwood did. But I'm going to tell you something. Go back to 2016. There was a situation in the 6A West that's real similar to what you're looking at with Greenwood and Lake Hamilton. That was Russellville and Greenwood. And Greenwood got Russellville that year, and it was at Greenwood. And it was like seventh game of the season or whatever. You could tell these two were on a mission, you know, to meet each other in state finals, and they did. And at the end, it was Russellville that ended up beating Greenwood to win the 6A state championship in 2016. A state championship, by the way, that people still celebrate here in Russellville. Oh, yeah. I mean, they are proud of that 16 team. But you know, I guess the whole point is for Lake Hamilton is don't lose heart, because you're probably going to get another shot at them, or at least you're going to have the opportunity to.
You know, that's the plan. You know, we know that Greenwood is heads and shoulders above a lot of people in their conference. They've had a lot of really good football games this season. Lake Hamilton, they're nothing to scoff at as well. I think they can both make some pretty good runs in the playoffs.
That 6A West, Leland Barclay talked about it, how tough it is. I mean, you got a Russellville team that is 1-9 this year that did not win a conference game. They were competitive in almost every game, and really they beat Lake Hamilton. Now, I know that people are going to say that, hey, that's not that's right. Nice. They didn't beat them.
Arkansas beat Arlington, too.
Exactly, exactly. It's the same situation, really. I've got photos. I saw them. That Russellville got in on that two-point conversion. And if you don't know, and I'm going back here, but there's a point to all this. The Russellville receiver was coming back to the ball in the end zone, but when the ball crossed the plane and the receiver caught the ball, he was actually in the red paint. Not on the line. He was in the red paint. And so Russellville feels a little bit slighted that they should have won that ball game. But the whole point is that 6A West is ridiculously good. It's got quarterbacks up and down the league. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal league this year. And, you know, Mountain Home is unbelievable this year. Lake Hamilton's really good this year. I mean, it's a stacked league.
It really is. I mean, that league is a really, really tough. It's hard to win in that league, and that's what we're seeing here in the 6A.
Stuttgart, nobody's talking about them, but I think Stuttgart's got a chance to win the whole 4A.
I think you're right.
At 0-10 last year, turns around, finishes their regular season undefeated, and you know, right now they're sitting at number 3 ranked in the state behind Joe T. Robinson and Shiloh. You know, you've got to throw Stuttgart in the mix there with those teams. I think you've also got to have Rivercrest in there.
Yes.
Cam Turner. I think Cam Turner's the best player in the state right now. I'm not kidding you.
I think you're right. And that's a kid that we've had on the show. He's got a head on his shoulders, too.
Yeah.
He was a really good guy to talk to. But we know that Cam Turner out of Rivercrest is the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, when you're throwing for, you know, getting close to, what, 3,000 yards?
Yes.
And 1,000 yards rushing, that's impressive.
And look out for Arkadelphia. Arkadelphia's playing a play-in game this week against Star City, but they're 6-1.
Right.
They had three games in a row that were COVID games. And because of all of the difficult situations that the AAA has had to go through this year, they just went by the number of wins. And that was actually one of the things, and we'll get to that in just a second, with the Hector and Quitman game there.
Right.
Hector beats Quitman, but Quitman had more wins because there were more COVID cancellations for the Hector Wildcats. And Quitman gets a home game, and Hector gets to go on the road to Foreman.
A long road game.
Exactly. But Stuttgart, 9-0, they've got some big-time players on their team, primetime players. We've talked about them before. Nobody's talking about this team as a possibility to win the whole shooting match, and I'm telling you, they've got an opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Josh Price doing things really well for the Ricebirds. And here's the thing, is we've eyed this matchup last week with Stuttgart and CAC. You know, at least I know I've personally eyed this matchup for several weeks, thinking, you know, it could come down to those two teams in that conference, and that's for the conference title. CAC the week before lost to Mount Baldwin, and that was a surprise upset. Nobody saw that coming. And then goes, you know, hosts Stuttgart. Stuttgart had to go to CAC, and they took it on the nose, 42-14.
Well, you know, I think CAC is a good team, don't get me wrong, but I think, you know, the last couple games between them, Lone Oak, and then Stuttgart kind of showed that maybe they're not quite at the top of that league, just a step below, but still probably a team that can win a game or two, 8-2 on the year. They can win a game or two in the playoffs. Speaking of teams that can win it all, Prescott, they're always in the mix to win it all in 3A, and they beat Glen Rose 42-14. And let me tell you something about Glen Rose. They are a tough out.
Yes.
So to be able to beat Glen Rose like they did shows that Prescott is a very good football team, and you know, a team that we're going to be watching moving on into the 3A.
And one of the things that's interesting about that score is, you know, we've been watching both of these teams throughout the course of the season, and we've seen Glen Rose, you know, take it to a lot of opponents, just like Prescott was able to take to Glen Rose. So, you know, that did set Prescott, you know, above Glen Rose, and we do, it's a very interesting matchup to see that. But Prescott's really getting things done on the football field. We're going to see how well they can do in the playoffs. But, you know, we also had that other game, Greenbrier and Valonia. We thought that's the Judges' Cup. Surely that's going to be a good, close game, and it was.
And it was, and that's what you expected. And really, Greenbrier helped themselves in playoff positioning with that victory. Those two teams are solid football teams. And now, you know, it looks like that Valonia is got one of the better games in 5A this week. And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but I think that win really helped Greenbrier and maybe getting a chance to win a game or two here, where Valonia hosts Watson Chapel and Jabre Shaw, another primetime athlete.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely going to be a good matchup to go to. But, you know, you alluded to the fact that, you know, we had a Hector Wildcat win over their opponent Friday night,
Quitman.
With Quitman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a tough ball game. I was at that game. We have some highlights. Let's actually talk about this and bring these up real quick. As we look at these highlights, Hector able to come away with the win. It was close. Quitman did have the opportunity late in the fourth quarter to take a late ball game lead, but Hector was able to shut him down.
You know, Hector is a team, and I think some people are saying, "Hey, why are you talking about Hector?" I mean, this, you know, we're primetime. We're talking about primetime athletes. We're talking about primetime teams. You know, and Hector is a team that has played a really, really tough schedule this year. You know, a team that had to go to Paris. Nobody really thought about it at the time that Paris was a really, really good team. They are phenomenal. They are a very good team. And Hector went and, you know, got 22 on them. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it was a close game. But, I mean, to see how that Paris played Boonville that a couple weeks back, I mean, Hector played okay that game. You know, they've had another COVID cancellation. They had a COVID cancellation against Johnson County Westside. And, big hit right there. Big hit. But they had another COVID cancellation with Johnson County Westside, which actually ended up hurting them here.
That's right.
And Ty Day is a guy that we talked about several times this year. He's right at almost 1,300 yards. Gunner Garrison, very solid quarterback for the Wildcats.
He did get a little banged up Friday night, so hopefully he's going to be recuperating. Watch, there's a catch coming up here in just a moment that was just absolutely spectacular, and we'll try to describe that for our audio listeners. But here's a big touchdown by Quitman. But there's another catch right in that same area of the field where he kind of bobbles the ball a little bit. It was a not the best thrown ball by Lighton, but as the receivers do, he went up and made sure that he had that. So that play is coming up. I want to make sure you see that when it comes out.
You gotta love that Hector Blue, man. Love these listeners are not able to see it. Here's a big time the catch right here. Litton throws it deep. A defender for Hector tips it up, but Quitman was able to come away with the catch. About a 30-40 yard play there to get Quitman inside the 20 to score, get a chance to score. And here's Lighton here. Working his way into the end zone for the touchdown. But, you know, Hector was still able to pull that game out. And, you know, it was a primetime athlete coming into our area. So we wanted to get a chance to get eyes on him, and we did. And so, anyway, we're going to go to Will Lighton after the ball game.
All right, here with Will Lighton here on Primetime Preps. And, Will, you know, you've got a story here where you're usually – playing in the linebacker field, and what led you to play quarterback this season?
I mean, I've always kind of been our backup. I like to think that I've always had a good football IQ. I love the game. I love learning about the game. I like to soak everything up like a sponge. I mean, I've played baseball my entire life, so I mean, it's given me a strong arm. And it's funny how I started playing quarterback, because when I first moved to Quitman, I was out running routes, and I ran deep, and then I caught it, and I was throwing it back in, and I threw it pretty far, and Coach Morris brought me in the next day at lunch and was like, "Hey, have you ever thought about playing quarterback?" And I was like, "I mean, last time I played it, I was like 7 or 8 and he was like, "Well, we got this thing called QB school, and I'd like you to come out there and start learning on offense, because he wanted me to do it, because even if I didn't play quarterback, he wanted me to know the offense better, know my routes better, and everything like that. And that's pretty much how it all started.
And so you really kind of stepped into the starting position in what was it, week 3?
I can't remember. I started my first official game against Conway Christian, and that I've started ever since.
Well, you're putting up some really big numbers. I mean, we've been looking at you on the stat book week to week. What do you I mean, you mentioned the quarterback school. What else do you attribute your acumen here on the field? Because you're making some really great plays.
I mean, football is a 11-person sport. I can't do my job without the other guys out there busting their butt for me every day. I mean, it's not just a me thing. It's everybody else out here. They ball for me. Aaron tonight made a great catch after a ball that was iffy throw. He saved me right there. It's another thing. He's balled for me. My other guys have balled for me. And it's pretty much on them, I mean, because I got to rely on them to finish this thing out.
And to come out and take over the starting position and start setting school records as the quarterback, what does that mean to you?
I mean, it's all fine and dandy to me, but at the same time, we want to go win playoff games, and we want to keep this thing rolling as long as we can.
You still want to play quarterback next season?
As of right now, yes, sir.
All right.
So that is Will Litton, and I just got a chance to talk to him after the football game. And the storyline from that we came away with was, you know, this kid setting school records, and the last time that he played quarterback, he was 7 years old. And ever since then, he's been playing outside linebacker. And so I was focusing a little bit of the time that I was there on his defensive ability. And he's a stud on defense, just like he is on offense, and especially for not playing that position in so long. It was a really fantastic way, and glad to be able to bring him in as a part of the Jerome Associates Hotline.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were at Bryant last week, and again, you know, we're at Hector this week. I mean, two totally different ends of the spectrum, but we're trying to cover everybody that's primetime. So Will Lighton was there. Hector has some primetime players, Ty Day, Gunnar Garrison. I mean, that's a good bunch over there. But we'd like to remind you that open enrollment for Medicare is October the 15th through December the 7th. Call Giroux and Associates to help with your Medicare plan. There are several new plans available for 2021. Giroux and Associates has agents all across the state of Arkansas who specialize in helping you with your Medicare needs. Call Mike Giroux at 1-888-360-8611 to schedule an appointment today. And we'll be back with more Primetime Preps and quarterback of Conway, Ben Weiss, right after this.
Here, in the heart of the River Valley, is St. Mary's Regional Health System. Here is the area's most comprehensive range of medical services, along with advanced treatment options and responsive emergency care. Here is our team of more than 900 professionals who bring healthcare to life through people, caring for people. And it is here where you can count on St. Mary's to always be. Because to us, community matters. For more than 90 years, our investment in our community has been unmatched. And today, that couldn't be stronger. St. Mary's, we're here for you.
For Medicare is October the 15th through December the 7th. Call Giroux and Associates for help with your Medicare plan. There are several new plans available for 2021. Giroux and Associates has agents all across the state of Arkansas who specialize in helping you with your Medicare needs. Protect your most valuable asset, yourself. Call Mike Giroux at 888-360-8611 to schedule an appointment today.
Welcome back to Primetime Preps. Joining us now on the Giroux and Associates hotline is Conway quarterback Ben Weiss, the senior. And, you know, you've had a pretty good season at Conway High School. Kind of talk about how this season has gone.
Obviously, with COVID and stuff, it was just kind of – everything was uncertain. But we've just done everything that we think is normal and just try to do everything we can to – stay positive through all this, and it's going pretty well.
You know, COVID has affected everybody. How is it specifically affected, you know, with what you do on a day-to-day basis as you prepare for each game?
Well, obviously there's virtual learning at school, so I'm doing that so that I won't be quarantined from school. But also there's every once in a while there'll be a player that gets quarantined from being at school, and obviously the mask and pretty much limited sidelines, and then practices are usually pretty normal, but sometimes they're a little bit different so we can space out, but other than that, it's pretty normal.
Going pretty normal. Now, you've had a really, really great season. You had a big comeback victory against Cabot. Talk about that game. That was one of the games that kind of put you on the radar a little bit.
Well, we started out pretty hot. We got up 21-0 going into halftime, and then we had a couple of drives that were just setting us back. But it's really just the Bryce Bohannon show and all the receivers. They, I'm not doing anything after they touch the ball. That's all them.
I got you. Well, there are a lot of intangibles. You have a lot of threats that you can target. You have several of them. You mentioned Bohannon. Who are some of the other guys that you know when you're in that huddle that you have your checkdowns? You have your 1, 2, 3, and 4, whatever. Who are some of the other guys that are popular in your playbook?
I'll be honest with you. If anyone isn't open, I just move on to the next guy, and I fully trust him. It's Manny Smith, Boogie Carr, Micah Mosby, Dylan Silverman Barnes, and Wes Boudreaux.
And, of course, none of those guys would be able to do much of anything if it wasn't for an offensive line that's able to protect that quarterback. And they've done a pretty good job of doing that. Talk about your big fellas up front.
They've worked really hard because I've been with those guys for a while, and we were pretty decent the past couple of years, but they've stepped up a lot. And if there's something that they need to fix in a game, it gets fixed the next drive. And they don't make very many mistakes twice. They're really good.
Now, you know, throughout your career with as playing quarterback, you know, how has that gone for you? Is this kind of a standalone season where it's like, you know, wow, I'm putting up some really primetime numbers? Or did you do this last year as well?
This is pretty much the only season. Last year I played JV, but we didn't throw the ball very much, and I was just kind of average and didn't really do anything. But now I get to throw the ball a lot more, and I have a lot more weapons too. So it's kind of – this year is definitely stood out over every other year.
What has changed from last year to this year that kind of made that happen? Has there been a change of culture, maybe an offensive shift?
Yeah, we got a new offensive coordinator, and he throws the ball probably 70% of the time, I think is what he said. And so we were all kind of just like really excited about that. And everyone just kind of hopped on board with that, and everyone just loved it as soon as it came to us. So
I know a lot of times, you know, when you run the football, a lot of people like, you know, running the football and the smash mouth, you know, downhill running kind of thing. But a passing attack is always fun to watch, you know, especially when you have a quarterback that has the weapons that you do. But football isn't your only forte, Ben. You also play baseball for the Wampus Cats. Tell us a little bit about your baseball experience.
I've grown up playing travel baseball, and once I got into high school, I just started playing showcase ball with the Arkansas Prospects, and we go around during the summer and just play at a bunch of really big tournaments where there's college coaches and sometimes there's MLB scouts, and we would play against the top players in the country, and they just pretty much showcases off to the coaches that are out there. And so I got some looks from UCA, and they wanted me to come there.
So you are signing with the UCA. I think you said Wednesday is when that signing is.
Yes, sir.
You know, how hard was that decision for you to make, to choose to be a Bear?
Not very hard at all. I've grown up going to UCA baseball games, and obviously I live 5 minutes from campus, so that's – I've known – pretty much everything there, and I love the coaches there, and I've talked to some of the guys that have played or are still playing at UCA, and they just talk about the environment just being like exactly like a family, and everyone is just super close, and it's just, I felt like it would be a really good fit for me, and I couldn't turn it down.
And on the football side, you know, you mentioned, you know, last year you didn't throw it a whole lot, so you don't have a whole lot of looks, if any, on the football side. But you would be available at UCA, I'm assuming, if you go in and as a pitcher, you would be available if they choose. Would you be willing to maybe play some quarterback for the Bears?
I wouldn't mind it, yeah, for sure. Football's really exciting, but baseball's been my main thing. But I wouldn't mind it.
You wouldn't mind it at all, huh? It's like, hey, if I as much athletics as we can get in, that's the better, right?
For sure.
For sure. So, you know, moving ahead and going into UCA, you know, a lot of times kids are all focused on, you know, where are we going to go? How am I going to get there? But you already have that signing in progress. And once you get on campus, what are you looking at majoring in, man?
I haven't decided yet. I've thought about doing some physical therapy things or – some sort of engineering, but I really just don't know yet.
Well, also, you know, Conway is going into, you know, the playoffs. They start this week. Talk about this week's matchup for the Wampus Cats and kind of what's the game plan going into it?
Really just – Coach Pimple just said it earlier today, treat it like any other game. It's nothing different, and no tension, just go in there and do our thing. If we play like we should, then we should come out with a win.
That's it. That's it. Well, Ben, you've been, like I said, you've been a repeat offender, if you will, here on Primetime Preps. We've had some of your stats that we've came across, and they are eye-popping with some of the performances that you've had out on the gridiron this season. So congratulations on a really good season. Best of luck in the postseason, and best of luck for, you know, in your future endeavors at UCA and on the pitching side. But we want to thank you for joining us here on Primetime Preps. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, sir. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. That's Ben Weiss joining us here on Primetime Preps on the Giroux and Associates Hotline. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Primetime Preps here in just a bit.
Here in the heart of the River Valley is St. Mary's Regional Health System. Here is the area's most comprehensive range of medical services, along with advanced treatment options and responsive emergency care. Here is our team of more than 900 professionals who bring healthcare to life through people, caring for people. And it is here where you can count on St. Mary's to always be. Because to us, community matters. For more than 90 years, our investment in our community has been unmatched. And today, that couldn't be stronger. St. Mary's, we're here for you.
For Medicare is October the 15th through December the 7th. Call Giroux and Associates for help with your Medicare plan. There are several new plans available for 2021. Giroux and Associates has agents all across the state of Arkansas who specialize in helping you with your Medicare needs. Protect your most valuable asset, yourself. Call Mike Giroux at 888-360-8611 to schedule an appointment today.
Joining us on Primetime Preps is the encyclopedia of Arkansas high school football, Mr. Leland Barclay. Leland, thank you for joining us on the Giroux Associates hotline.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's a fun time of the year, and I'm just glad that we're getting to talk some high school football today, because 3 months ago I think we all had some doubts.
Yeah, we did, and let's just start right there. This season has been an odd season, and it's making for an odd state playoffs, as everybody who wanted to go in did go in, and most of the teams in the state went in. What do you make of all of that?
You know, it was, I think it's a little bit unusual. You know, the brackets usually are already set with, seedings and everything, and it's just kind of the final standings. Teams are just filled in the slots, and you can even look 4 or 5 weeks ahead of time and say, there's a possibility this team will be going there. And that last 2 nights of the regular season, the Thursday and Friday, is all about seedings and a team jumping from maybe a top seed to a top seed, maybe from a third seed. And all the seedings or the brackets are already set. This year, really nobody knew anything except at 7A and 6A, and that was all decided Saturday. And I know I was sitting around waiting for the brackets to come out and kind of filling in teams where they were going and things, and it was a very, very unusual, and I'm sure very difficult. I think Steve Roberts sent out an email, and he was saying that he's a representative. He's kind of the football guy for the Arkansas Activity Association. He said it was a very tedious and long process on Saturday, because first of all, teams had to they had until 8 o'clock Saturday morning to opt out of the playoffs. In other words, everybody was in the playoffs, but they had to let the AAA know that, hey, that they were not participating. And so that's how that all, so at 8 o'clock, it was kind of like, okay, these are the teams that are still going to play in the playoffs. And, what it's made now is it's made 3 straight weekends of Saturday doubleheaders. Instead of having 3 games over 2 weekends, it's now going to be 6 games over 3 weekends, and all of them are going to be Saturday doubleheaders. So that's, for us that's in sports, that's kind of, that I like that. And the fact that we're going to be able to see some games on Friday night, those first 2 weeks of some, semifinals and other games are going to be very good as well.
And, of course, it makes for a kind of March Madness style first couple rounds as well, as teams that you don't really know a lot about, or even teams that come out of a tougher conference, that might have been a 6 or a 7, might end up advancing a round or two in the playoffs just because of who they played.
Well, and it was kind of a situation where the AAA said, because nobody ended up, well, the 2A5 was the only conference in the state that completely played their whole entire schedule as it was originally scheduled. That's the only conference in the state. So it's kind of a way of giving up those teams that maybe lost a game or two another game to play. So, I mean, it's, I think the AAA handled it perfectly. In fact, I think the whole thing is, you know, from the governor on down, the school administrators, athletic directors, and everybody has just been handled it just brilliantly, I think. And, you know, it's set up for a postseason that, you know, I know we're all certainly glad to have.
Absolutely. Did they make any remarks about what they would do if they had any kind of COVID issues in the playoffs?
Well, at this point, obviously, with, you know, everything set now, if there's an issue now, a team will have to forfeit. Whereas during the regular season, you know, anybody that had an issue, the games were counted as no contest. There were no forfeits involved. But now in the playoffs, if a team cannot play, then it has to be a forfeit, and the team they were playing will advance.
Well, that's unfortunate, but really that's just making the best of a bad situation. So, well, we were talking a little bit about the 7A and 6A playoffs. Let's start with the 7A. And, you know, one of the things that my partner here, Bill, and I have been talking about is a possible Bentonville-Bryant matchup. That seems to be the one that everybody seems to be looking to the finals. They've both got to get there. But what would you think about a possible Bentonville and Bryant matchup?
Well, you know, we were all talking about the same thing last year. That looked like it was going to be the same thing last year because Bentonville and Bryant were both in the same situation. They were both breezing through their conferences. They were both undefeated. And everybody was thinking the same thing last year. And I was really, frankly, just a little disappointed that it ended up not being a Bentonville-Bryant state championship game. But North Little Rock went to Bentonville in the semifinals and beat them, and, you know, so we had a, you know, another 7A Central championship game. So everybody was thinking the same thing last year, and it's setting up to be the same thing this year, you know, minus the upsets that, you know, Bentonville's going to have to beat North Little Rock at home in the semifinals for us to get that undefeated state championship matchup of undefeated teams.
Right. But of course, you, like you said, there are definitely some other teams in the 7A that are in play, namely North Little Rock. Conway is another team that has a high-powered offense that can make some noise in these playoffs.
Yeah, Conway, I mean, it's you know, having been in this side of the state for most of my life, you know, we've watched the 7A West dominate the state's largest classification, I guess, with 13 straight state championships. And then, of course, the Central, you know, some of the schools in the West started splitting. And then the power has now kind of shifted to the Central. And it's going to be interesting to see when the Arkansas Sports Media poll comes out today. There's a very good possibility that Bentonville is going to be the only team from the West that's going to be ranked in the top 10, which would just be, I mean, it's, I'll have to go back and look and see when that when that happened last. But you're right, because Bryant, North Little Rock, Cabot, and Conway are all four probably going to be ranked. So we're going to have four teams in the top 10 ranked from the Central, probably only one from the West. And you're right, Conway's offense has just been you know, phenomenal all year, and there'll be some other teams that have a say in things as well from the Central.
So moving on to the 6A, we were talking a little bit about the West, and there was something that you noticed about the 6A West that probably sticks out to you more than just about anything that you've seen in high school football this year.
Well, the quarterback play in the 6A West has just been phenomenal this year, and then, you know, I'm sure you guys have noticed that as well, seeing the teams come through Russellville. But it may be the best collection of quarterbacks that I have ever seen in one conference. I do remember several years ago back, the 7A West had six quarterbacks that made All-State. This was several years ago. But this one, when you look at the quarterbacks in the 6A West, I mean, they're all phenomenal. Benton's Garrett Brown is the all-time leading passer in school history. Van Buren's quarterback, Gary Phillips, is going to be about the same way by the time he graduates and plays another game or two. You've got Braden Whitford at Russellville, who's a two-year starter that's putting up phenomenal numbers. The quarterback at Mountain Home, Bryce McKay, he had a game earlier this year. He was the Fearless Friday.com Player of the Week because of a game where he rushed for 200 and passed for 200 in the same game, which is extremely rare in high school football for a quarterback to do that. I mean, very rare. And then, of course, you've got the quarterback at Salem Springs that's kind of been under the radar a little bit, but another great quarterback, and it just, you know, it's just, it's a, like I said, maybe the best collection of quarterbacks I have ever seen in one conference.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not even including Greenwood's quarterback, who usually is the top of them all, and then, of course, Landon Rogers at Little Rock Parkview.
Yeah, I mean, there, you know, I forgot about him. Yeah. You know, he's a one-year guy. He was, you know, this is his first year to start, but he led them as a ninth grader to a conference championship in the ninth grade, and, of course, kind of stepped back, and, you know, they've had other great ones, but he has stepped in and had a phenomenal season, too, because I think it was 2 weeks ago I looked, and just based on yardage, four of the top seven passers in the state were from the 6A West.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. And the 6A West, of course, you know, when you have great quarterback play, you also have good teams up and down the line. And, I mean, you know, you even look at Russellville, who is, you know, 0 for the conference. But, you know, they played Lake Hamilton, and, you know, there was a disputed two-point conversion that a lot of Russellville fans feel like that they got in that in the end zone and should have beaten Lake Hamilton in that game. And then, you know, you look at Van Buren. Van Buren coming down from the 7A West has been a very competitive ball team this year, even though they got one win in the conference. Salem Springs the same way. They think Salem ended up with two wins in the conference. I mean, it is a tough, tough conference up and down the slate there, and when you look at the matchups in the playoffs, it looks like the West is going to have the upper hand versus the East.
Well, and that's one of the things, you know, the 7A and the 6A playoffs now are just, it's a matter of just conference versus conference, and it's ones versus eights, two versus sevens, or at least this year, you know, seven and eights usually don't go, but this year it's going to be ones versus eights, twos versus sevens, and on and on. And the great thing about that is, you know, it's two conferences going mano a mano against each other, and it really will show the strength of which conference, you know, is the best. And there's been some years that we've been surprised, because usually even in the 5A West, it's always conferences against conferences in that first round. You know, it may be all South versus West, all Central versus East, and it's really interesting to see sometimes that 3 seed or that 4 seed, because like last year, I think Morrilton was a 4 seed and they won a first round game. And so it's going to be really interesting this year, especially in the 6A, to see how these West teams match up, because, you know, Russellville is going to be matched up against the East champion, and to see how they go. And of course, Van Buren's the 7th seed, so they're going to be going to Jonesboro, and to see how those lower seeded teams in that first round of the playoffs against the top-rated teams from the other conference is going to be just, I think, really, really interesting to watch on Friday night.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. I look for the West to really fare well, you know, but, you know, there's still good teams in the East as well. And the two that really come to my mind in the East is Sylvan Hills and Jonesboro. Those two are the ones that stick out the most to me.
Well, and Joe, you mentioned that, and I would not have put Sylvan up Hills up there close to the top of that league at the beginning of the season. I don't remember how it you know, looked and things as far as the preseason predictions, but I wouldn't have put Sylvan Hills up there. You know, Jim Withrow, who had been there, it seems, forever, had left to take the job at Hall, so somebody else came in, and it happened to be Chris Hill, who had been, you know, at Harding University the last 2 years, and you guys can kind of relate to Chris Hill,
mm-hmm.
probably the only quarterback or the only coach who's been around to more places to coach than Chris Hill is maybe Billy Dawson, and you guys are familiar with him. And Chris Hill's been around a lot of places, so it's not surprising, and most of them he's won at. So it's not surprising that he's got Sylvan Hills, you know, doing well again. But I wouldn't have put them, I wouldn't have picked them in the top three in the conference. And then now they're conference champions. Of course, Jonesboro, we know about them. You know, we expect great things out of El Dorado, another team that was in the West, West Memphis. I mean, the West always seems like they have a core group of teams that are really good. So yeah, the first round will be very interesting. And you know, you guys with Russellville going up against Sylvan Hills, that's a couple of coaches, head coaches, that are former Greenwood assistants going against each other.
Yeah, definitely a storyline there. Well, I know that we had kind of talked a little bit about 7A and 6A, but man, we got so much knowledge here. I hate to not take advantage of it. Real quick here, do you see anybody that can challenge PA in the 5A?
Boy, I mean, it's almost at this point, what's your definition of challenge? You know, I've gotten to a point where I just want to see a good, close, competitive championship game. Mm-hmm. Somebody to give PA, a good game. I mean, because, as a fan of high school sports, that's really what we want. And, you're right. It's tough. They've got a system going, and I thought, maybe last year after they lose their quarterback, maybe this year that it's the year that they'll be down, and they plug two guys in. I mean, they've got a guy that's now thrown for 2,000, another one that's thrown for like 1,500 because they're kind of alternating them.
Yeah.
I think when we look at the bracket, obviously Wynn is the East champion is on that side. And then the other two champions are on the other side. So maybe that semifinal game, which would be Wynn at PA, might be interesting. With Wynn being a predominantly running team, maybe gives them some problems. You know, it looks like Harrison on the other side out of the West is certainly one of the teams. The South was kind of an unusual situation because of the COVID stuff. Texarkana finished undefeated, but they're the second seed because Hot Springs Lakeside actually won more games than they did, which was the first tiebreaker. So Hot Springs Lakeside is the champion with four wins. Texarkana, which went 3-0, is the second seed. So they're on the other side with they're in the same bracket as Wynn. So hopefully somebody will challenge them and we'll have a competitive game that second weekend of December in 5A.
Okay, so let's move on to 4A real quick. What are you seeing in 4A? It seems to be one of the more competitive conferences out there right now.
Well, I know there's been some talk about how Robinson, Stuttgart, and Shiloh Christian are all on the same side of the bracket. But at this point, I don't think anybody can really complain about how the bracket fell because again. I think if players and especially parents were told exactly 3 months ago, you think back to August and we were just wondering if we were going to have a season. And now 3 months from now, we're talking about, or 3 months later, we're talking about the playoffs. So I don't see really complaining about the brackets. Now we can always look at the brackets and say this one's stacked or whatever, but that one side of the bracket will be interesting to see with, Stuttgart and Robinson, which will play an earlier round game. And there's still Ozark that's in that side, too. But Shiloh Christian's going to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, so there's that side. Then you look at the other side. Of course, Nashville's the top seed at the very top of the bracket, so they're going to be at home throughout as long as they keep winning. But then there's Rivercrest down there as well, who's having a phenomenal season. A quarterback that's just putting up gigantic numbers. Cam Turner, he may be one of those guys. He may throw for 3,000 and rush for 1,000.
Wow.
This year, which is another one of those things that I've loved charting through the years is, quarterbacks that pass for 2,000 and rush for 1,000. I mean, those guys are rare too. So 4A, I think, is extremely wide open. And then we haven't even talked about and included Arkadelphia, who, may have a say in some things too. So 4A, I think every year is one of the more interesting classifications to watch as far as the parity in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then another team, we haven't even included Warren, which we usually talk about. So 4A is going to be great to watch as well this year.
Yeah. Well, while I got you, 3A and 2A, let's just talk about them real quick.
Well, the 2A is kind of unusual. We had 36 teams starting out the season in 2A because eight-man football has started up. It's not an official sanctioned sport yet, but, so there's been several, I think 16 schools that have started playing eight-man. So that's kind of taken away from those 2A, from the 2A classification. And so with starting with 36, they were able to whittle it down into a bracket that has enabled us to have that doubleheader on that second weekend of 2A and 5A just because of the amount of teams. So, I think both of those are going to be wide open as well, although it's kind of the usual names there. And I think that they're going to be, wide open as well.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you joining us here on the Giroux and Associates Hotline. And we may have to catch up with you down the line here in the playoffs because you are a wealth of knowledge. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. And, anytime you want to, I love talking about the high school sports and the players. And it's just, it's to me, it's the final, I guess, level of just really just pure sports that, they go out on the field on Friday nights and, they play the game because they love it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you soon. That is Leland Barclay joining us on the Giroux and Associates Hotline. We'll be back with more Primetime Preps right after this.
Here, in the heart of the River Valley, is St. Mary's Regional Health System. Here is the area's most comprehensive range of medical services, along with advanced treatment options and responsive emergency care. Here is our team of more than 900 professionals who bring healthcare to life through people caring for people. And it is here where you can count on St. Mary's to always be, because to us, community matters. For more than 90 years, our investment in our community has been unmatched, and today that couldn't be stronger. St. Mary's, we're here for you.
For Medicare is October the 15th through December the 7th. Call Giroux and Associates for help with your Medicare plan. There are several new plans available for 2021. Giroux and Associates has agents all across the state of Arkansas who specialize in helping you with your Medicare needs. Protect your most valuable asset, yourself. Call Mike Giroux at 888-360-8611 to schedule an appointment today.
Welcome back to the final segment of Primetime Preps, and man, just Leland Barclay.
Wow. Yeah, I'm telling you.
That guy, he is just like the Rain Man of Arkansas High School football. Just, like I said, if you want to know something about Arkansas High School football, I mean, that guy, he is the man to go to, and what an interview. And I hope that we can talk to him again as the playoffs go on, because he is fantastic.
Without a doubt. I was very, very impressed with that that interview with Barclay. I tell you, that he knows his stuff, that is for sure.
And so it is playoff week, playoff time here in the Natural State, as we have, if you don't know, basically anybody that wanted to make the playoffs could. They opted in, and there was just a handful of teams throughout the state that actually opted out of the playoffs this year. And so we've got some interesting matchups for sure. And
a few pillow fights.
Right. And we got an extra week of playoffs. We got an extra week of state finals, if you don't know that by now. 7A and 6A play on December the 5th. 5A and 4A play on December the 12th. And 3A and 2A play on December the 19th. So it's a lot of action here between now And almost Christmas. You move it back one more week, you've got to play the day after Christmas. So, man, it's a fun time here in the Natural State. And, you know, as Leland said, we're just glad that we actually have football to be played here. You know, playoff time. Nobody expected us to make it to playoffs by this time. And, you know, it's just – it's, I guess, thankful in this time is the word to use, right?
That's it. And, you know, the thing, you know, coming up on Thanksgiving, it's funny.
You got it. There you go.
But, you know, now we're going into basketball season with all these COVID protocols for getting into a facility. And, you know, we're facing the same challenges and the same thoughts that we were facing in, you know, the early season for football. We're now looking at that in basketball thinking, is basketball season going to work very well when we're dealing with more of a closed-in atmosphere? And so we're going to get experience, you know, with that this week as basketball season starts to open up. More people are going to be going to the gym.
Yeah, and, you know, there's lots of protocols there. You know, some of the things that we found out yesterday, we've been so wrapped up in football that we really just started working on basketball yesterday. And, you know, here we are. You've got to, like, if you're a boys player but you don't have a girls player, then you have to leave the gym after the game. The boys can't come into the gym till 7:15. They're moving kids in and out, trying to keep the crowds from having interactions, that sort of thing. And, you know, it's all to get through the season. I mean, really, if you get down to it, it's just if you have a COVID outbreak, you got to stop. And so they're just doing everything they can. They're spacing players out. I noticed, you know, we're calling the Pottsville BB game tonight, and that'll be after this is aired. So yesterday.
Yeah.
you know, they've got seats wrapped around the you kind of go around the corner of the floor now, and they've got all kinds of spacing. I mean, it's just – it's one thing right after another, but, you know, everybody's got questions. But you know what? This has been a really everybody's handled things pretty well, and so I feel like that we'll be talking about this, you know, as we come to March, getting close to March, we'll be talking about playoffs and basketball, and it'll be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun. It's also going to be a unique challenge for us because, you know, not a whole lot of stats out there for basketball,
right.
So we'll have to dig a little bit more to find that information, but. You know, that's something that we enjoy doing. We like, you know, football and basketball. We like high school sports. And we're going to do everything that we can to bring that information.
And you know, you can help us. You can help us with all of that. You can help us to get us some stats by just inboxing us at the Arkansas Sports Network on Facebook, letting us know. I need to get that Twitter going there that we've got. So just letting us know.
Just and add course, that to your plate of things to do.
Right. I don't have anything else to do, right? I'm not very busy. But anyway, let's go down the playoff, the lineup here as we kind of get this thing wrapped up. But, you know, big matchups in the 7A. You've got Rogers and Cabot. That's a big-time matchup there. We're going to get to that in a minute. Fort Smith Northside and Springdale Harbor. Of course, these first matchups are the Central versus the West, and you think, well, Fort Smith Northside seems like they're playing a conference team because they're playing Harbor, and you're not used to seeing Harbor at 4-6.
Right.
You know, Fort Smith Northside is actually traveling to Harbor because of Central being really tough this year. And really, I like Harbor to get, or I'm sorry, I like Fort Smith Northside to have a great chance there with Drayton Norwood as they travel up the 49 to Harbor.
Yeah, of course. You know, Fort Smith Northside 5-4 on the season, taking on this 4-6 Harbor team. Harbor's ironically at home. You know, usually give the home team the advantage, at least a touchdown score advantage to the home team. Harbor's only favored by one usually in that game, so that's going to be a fun game. It's not going to be the slugfest that, you know, a lot of these big games that we've been talking about this year. It's not going to be that type of slugfest. But it's going to be an enjoyable ball game.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Little Rock Catholic and another game taking on Bentonville West. Bentonville West had a real shot at winning the 7A West by, or at least getting a share of it by beating Bentonville, but they didn't do that. Bentonville came away with a big victory up there in Bentonville, crosstown rivals, that sort of thing. Now Bentonville West actually fell down a few spots after losing that ball game. So that's a fun ball game. Little Rock Catholic, Bentonville West. I like Bentonville West in that one. Fayetteville somehow figured out a way to get all the way up to the 2 seed in the 7A West. And you look at Fayetteville, they're 4-5.
Yeah.
They're playing 2-4 Little Rock Central. These records are so thrown off because of all the COVID issues this year.
You know, that's one of the things I was looking at, Brad, is as I'm going down a list of, you know, who's playing who and kind of looking at school records, and it's very rare so far that you find a team that's played 10 games.
And, you know, as Leland said, 2A5 was the only conference in the whole state that didn't have a COVID issue, that didn't miss a game. Every team every conference had at least one team that ended up having a COVID issue and missing a game for whatever reason, whether it was the other team canceling or they had to cancel for whatever.
I mean, do we need to make a motion to import their water?
Yeah, no kidding. 2A5, what are you doing down there? All right, let's move on to the 6A, Mountain Home at Pine Bluff. That's our game of the week. We're going to pick that one here in a minute. Van Buren and Jonesboro. Van Buren is, I think they've got a tall task on their hands to be able to take down Jonesboro. But with that being said, Van Buren is not as bad as that 3-7 record looks. They're playing, and that's at 6A West, is a very tough conference. And, you know, I really expect that after that top two, and Jonesboro is in that top two in the East, I really think that the West has a shot at winning almost every game. We'll see. I know that we've had that thought before. I think it was a couple years back that we thought that was going to happen in the first round. And of the four matchups, the East won every one of them, or three of the four, whatever it was. I really think the West has a good shot at sweeping them.
I think they absolutely do. But the thing about Jonesboro that's definitely interesting is it's you know, the conference that they are in, are they highly ranked because they, you know, of their record alone, or, you know, are they taking into account the fact that, you know, the level of play that they're playing up against? So, you know, Van Buren's actually favored in this game at 3-7. So, I mean, that kind of speaks volumes as what that team is all about. But, you know, Jonesboro is going to be a tough matchup. We expect that to be a very good game. I actually like Jonesboro on that one if I was to pick it.
Yeah, I like Jonesboro at home too, but man, it's going to be a tough ball game. It's going to be good. Watson Chapel taking on Valonia. We'll get to that one in a little bit. Clarksville, now this is in 5A, by the way. Clarksville is taking on Greene County Tech. Clarksville at 3-6 is much better than that record indicates. And again, you're talking about a very tough conference at 5A West. Clarksville, you know, just a couple years back had lost every game for a year. I know in maybe 2 years they were on some long losing streak there. You know, they've kind of fixed that, although that 5A West is really tough to come through. Greenbrier, Valonia, you know, Alma's down this year, but Alma's one of those teams is usually up there at the top of it. Harrison, Morrilton, all those teams, it's a tough conference. Farmington's in that conference as well. We'll talk about them in just a second. But I'm going to tell you what. Clarksville is a good-looking team coming off the bus, and they're very physical up front. And you want to talk about seeing an offense that you don't usually see, go ahead and take a look at what Clarksville does. They are the only team in the state that I know of that runs the old-school single wing.
And you don't see that single wing very often, so it's a good point. But the neat thing is, you know, when you run an offense that not a lot of people have, you know, see that often, a lot of times it can catch people by surprise. You know, we've seen that in games where a school may run the spread and then somebody gets hurt and they turn around and run a different offense for a while. You know, those kind of things can sneak up on opponents. And I think Clarksville is using that to their advantage. Not that they're surprising anybody, but just the fact that that's an offense that you don't see on a week-to-week basis, and it's hard to defend.
They are physical. Man, they're physical up front. I mean, they are absolutely maulers up front, and they have been now for a couple years there, and Coach Buckner really emphasizes physicality there, and they've done a good job there at Clarksville. He's done a good job. Farmington and Valley View, another really evenly matched game. I think I even spoke about this not too long ago. It's like, you know, what happens if these teams match up? And it was one of these teams, which is Valley View and Farmington, two teams that are really evenly matched. You know, Valley View had a chance there playing Wynn a few weeks back to kind of get themselves into the top of the conference, but Wynn is so good.
Wynn is Wynn. That's all they do is Wynn.
You know, Wynn actually has a shot at getting to that state final. Now, I haven't looked at the bracket to say if they got PA on that side, because if they do, it's going to be tough. But with that said, they've got the athletes and the physicality to really to do some damage in the playoffs.
You know, when you start talking about that conference, the question that has to be asked is who can take down PA? Who is that going to be? Is it going to be Wynn? Can anybody do it? I think Wynn would hold a good shot at doing that. I think that may come down to where that game is ultimately played, but Farmington and Valley View, two very good teams. So Farmington 4-5 on the season. Valley View's 5-4 and favored by about a touchdown.
Moving on to 4A, we're going to pick Clinton and Blytheville here in a little bit, but we've got Fountain Lake and Pottsville. It's a game that we will be at on Friday night calling that ball game. And when you talk about Pottsville, you know, Pottsville's had their own COVID-related issues. In fact, a couple weeks back against Ozark, in fact, they haven't played since then. They had 19 guys out. They ended up playing the game anyway, and they got destroyed.
Yeah.
But Pottsville's not a bad team. Pottsville's got some guys, and Elijah Bradley's the guy that comes to mind anytime you're talking about Pottsville. The last time we did see him, 42 carries, 312 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
He had also had a, 37, 38-yard touchdown, whatever it was.
42-yard touchdown.
42, yeah.
Reception, yeah.
So, I mean, he was phenomenal the last time that we saw them. They get him back. Fountain Lake is a team that has come out of a very tough conference at 4A7. They've acquitted themselves well. This is a tough matchup for Pottsville, in my opinion.
It's a very tough matchup. Fountain Lake, the Cobras are favored in that ball game. This is at John Needham Stadium in Pottsville. And it's all going to depend, in my opinion, on the outcome of this game. It's really going to depend on what offense is going to show up and who does Fountain Lake prepare for. Are they prepared for the wing team or the dead team, or are they prepared more for the spread? And we don't know what we're going to see yet. So, you know, if we don't know, sure, they don't know either. But, you know, every time I see Fountain Lake, I think of the game I broadcast at Fountain Lake probably a good 10, 15 years ago, Brad, where we had a streaker.
Oh, wow.
And he came out of the woods on one end. I don't know if you've ever been to Fountain Lake's facilities. You got to climb up a massive hill just to get to it. So the players, by the time they get to the field, your opponent, you know, they're already worn out from going up those stairs. But anyway, coming out of the woods surrounding the stadium there at Fountain Lake, here comes a streaker. I mean, he made it all the way across the field and was not caught. He ran off in the woods on the other side. But, you know, it just makes me chuckle when I see Fountain Lake, and I'm still going to do it again. But
Bauxite and Huntsville. Bauxite is a team that Daryl Patton was coaching last year before he left to Southwest and really got the program going back in the right direction. I actually know Huntsville very well, used to live up there. And, boy, you know, there was some miserable football up there for a long time. This is the first time that Huntsville's made the playoffs in, like, 20-something years. It's been a rough go up there. 4-5 this year for Huntsville in the 4A1 is a good record for them and a good start. I know that Slater Watkins is a guy there that we've featured on Arkansas Sports Network that has been a very good. He's like a 230-pound running back.
My goodness.
I mean, he's a big boy, and he's hard to take down. And so that's one thing that you'll have to watch for there at Huntsville. Moving on to the 3A, Hackett, first year in 3A, 4-4, showed themselves well. Mountain View. Mountain View's got one of the top running backs in the state this year, and he's a stud. They're going to have a hard time. The Yellow Jackets are going to have a hard time stopping him, especially at home. And then moving on to Baptist Prep. I know a little bit about Baptist Prep.
Yep.
Defensive coordinator at Baptist Prep is my cousin, actually. And, you know, he has done a lot of good things there, and they've done good things there this year at Baptist Prep. They're taking on Corning that I know from what I was told. They have a pretty good running game there themselves and a big bruising running back. So that one's going to be an interesting one to watch. And then moving down into the 2A, we're going to take Hector and Foreman here in just a minute. We got Bearden. Bearden's a team that is usually up at the top of the state, won state championships in the recent past, as well as Mount Ida. Both of those teams, you know, named teams. Mount Ida won a couple years back and won about 5 years, 6 years ago, whatever it was. They're 4-6 this year. Bearden's 4-6 this year. Bearden's going to have the athletic advantage. Mountain Ida's more of a system-type team.
That's right.
And so, anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So anyway, let's move on to our primetime performers from this last weekend. And I'll tell you what, Bill, Cam Turner, he seems to be a guy that we're talking about quite a bit, 401 yards passing on 18 completions. He had 89 yards on 19 carries and 6 touchdowns. Another big-time game from Mr. Turner.
Yeah, Cam Turner is just always, every week it seems, you know, when we pull up the stats on Max Preps, it's like, well, there's Cam Turner again. And he's showing out. This guy is incredible. Of course, you know, depending on what happens this Friday night, we may have a chance to see him, as Pottsville would likely go to River Crest or you know.
Interesting. It's going to be
interesting. It'll be interesting. Yeah, if Fountain Lake wins, Fountain Lake will go and have a chance to be destroyed by Cam Turner. But Cam Turner is an outstanding athlete, and again, you know, he's off the leaderboard here.
Again, you know, when I'm talking about best player in the state, you know, he's not the most highly recruited player in the state. There's a little bit of a difference. But as far as a kid that's having the best season in the state, I'm not sure you can put anybody up there that's going to have any better one than him. Cole Keelan,
Harrison, that's pretty close.
He's up there. 10 of 20 passing, 378. Well, that's 37.8 yards of completion. That's pretty good. 9 carries for 36 yards and 5 total touchdowns there for the Goblins.
Sed Simmings out of Malvern. We've seen him a few times. 13 of 19 passing, 253 yards. He ran the ball 22 times for 110 yards. And 5 total touchdowns, 2 through the air, 3 on the ground. A great performance by that Leopard.
Already got a Kansas offer there. He's going to have many more. He's not going to Kansas, I can tell you. I love Coach Brent Dierman over there. He's not going to Kansas. Jet Dennis of Greenland, one of the best running backs in the state. He and Daryl Kadich in the same conference. 21 carries, 265 yards, 1 reception for 33 yards, and 4 touchdowns for the Pirates. He's making that machine go there at Greenland.
Next up, we have Zaire Green out of Whitehall. The Bulldog had 26 carries, 292 yards, and 4 touchdowns on the ground for the running back, Zaire Green. And that's a pretty good performance right there in and of itself.
Braden Whitford in a 50-47 loss, 320 yards passing, 6 touchdowns total. 3 rushing, 3 passing. Whitford has had an incredible year this year for the Cyclones. Even though the Cyclones haven't won a lot of games, they've put up a lot of offense this year. They've scored a lot of points this year. Unfortunately, the defense just hasn't been there for them.
I think that's one of the points that we make about that conference specifically is, you know, even though you look at Russellville's overall record and the one win that we have with Russellville, Braden Whitford is in the top 5 consistently with his, you know, total yardage outcome. So he's one of the top passers in the state. And you would think that with the top passer in the state, you would have some wins to go along with that. But that's a good conference. And it doesn't matter if you're one of the leading passers in the state or not. That's not enough to win some of these games in that conference.
Russellville's been one of the most competitive one-win teams I've ever seen.
You got that right.
But unfortunately for them, it just hasn't worked out. Harding Academy, they're a team that wins more than they lose. I can guarantee you that. 330 yards passing for Caden Sipe. 4 touchdowns as the Wildcats look to repeat as 3A state champions.
Yeah, Caden Sipe, that's another kid that we've kind of crossed paths with on this show a couple of times. And so we still see Harding Academy putting up some big numbers. And then Jermaine Dobbins, Mount Pine Red Devils. Anything that has the Red Devil on it, I like it. 13 carries, 179 yards, 3 catches for 172 yards, 5 total touchdowns. On the defensive side of things, he had 4 tackles, 1 interception, and a fumble recovery. So he was a star on both sides of the ball on that one.
And I'd like to also say that they were the 8-man state champions.
There you go.
Yeah, they were 8-man state champions there. And, you know, the 8-man's getting bigger in Arkansas. And some you see a lot of 2A schools are moving to that. I'd like to see some of these 1A schools that might want football to step up and play. That'd be pretty awesome. Well, moving on to our final segment in our picks. We've got Rogers at Cabot, and, you know, I really feel good about Cabot. You know, on I think in other years, maybe if Bryant wasn't in play, you know, North Little Rock as well, Cabot would be one of those teams that you'd probably mention as a top one or two state title contender. I think they're that good. Unfortunately, they've got all these other teams to go through and probably not going to win it, not to say that they can't. You know, and I know somebody from Cabot's going to be listening to this and just start hating on us. We both have Cabot in this ball game against Rogers, and so we feel good about them moving on into the next round.
Looking at the next game, it's Mountain Home at Pine Bluff. You know, that's going to be a good matchup. Bryce McKay and the Bombers, they've always put up some good numbers. They've ran into some stiff competition. We mentioned how that conference in and of itself is a challenge. And, you know, I look at Matt at Pine Bluff, and we disagree on this one. I like Mountain Home.
Yeah, I like Pine Bluff, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me with Bryce McKay if Mountain Home was able to pull it off. They've done a great job up there this year.
I want to say it's a thin spread. I want to say it's like a one-point spread if you look at that one.
Watson Chapel in Valonia. I've got Chapel, DeBrace Shaw. Just I feel like it's going to be too much for the Eagles, but you know, Austin Myers is a very good player there, and it's at Valonia.
And I've seen Valonia in a lot of ball games this year. I've seen Valonia almost beat Morrilton a couple weeks back, and so I know that they can. They have the potential. They have the firepower to win these games. And you know, being the host, give me the Eagles.
Clinton at Blytheville, we like Blytheville. It's always a long trip to go to Blytheville. You just don't see too many people going up into the northeast part of the state there, especially to Blytheville. I mean, you know, you go to Fayetteville, that's in the other part of the side of the state. It's just a long way to get there. Yeah. I remember
there's not a good way to get there either.
I remember going. I think it was Morrilton a couple years back that went to Blytheville, and that was when Criswell was there, and Morrilton ended up beating Blytheville, and I think it was a 250-mile trip from Morrilton. So I'm thinking that man, we're talking about you know, it's still a long way for Clinton. Can you imagine if Blytheville and Texarkana, and I think they actually matched up a few years back. Blytheville and Texarkana had to match up 300-something-plus miles across the state. But we like the Chickasaws in this matchup. And for our final matchup, we've got the Hector Wildcats and the Foreman Gators. We like Hector. You know, that's a sneaky upset there. We might be kicking ourselves after after that one. But Hector's a solid 5-4 football team.
Look at their losses, Brad.
Yes.
Two of their losses were out of classification. You had a loss to Paris, and we know what Paris has been able to do. Only one loss, I believe, on the season, and that was to Boonville. And they lost to a good Paris team. Also lost to Mountain View.
Yes.
And that's a 3A team, I think, 4A?
Yeah, 3A.
And then in conference, you had losses to Bigelow, which is a good undefeated team, I believe. And what was their other loss to? I'm trying to remember.
It was Magazine, which was a close loss that the Magazine came back and beat them. But, you know, I think that Hector's got a lot of good things going for him. Coming into the playoffs, of course, I think that Gunnar Garrison has to play.
That's the key.
If he's not playing, Hector doesn't have a shot. I don't know a lot about their backup quarterback, but, you know, you really have a hard time replacing Gunnar Garrison in that lineup. So, anyway, with that being said, we like Hector over the Gators at Foreman. And I'll remind you that last year, a lot of people thought that Hector didn't have a chance as they traveled to EPC, and they came away with the victory.
That's right. That's right. The backup quarterback, by the way, for Hector is Drake Riley. And, of course, he's got to be ready to go if Gunnar Garrison still is hurt. From all indications, he's getting better. Yeah. We don't like to see anybody hurt, but if Gunnar Garrison is healthy, I do think that Hector has a more than likely chance of winning that one, in my opinion.
All right. Well, Bill and I, we're about to take a 2-hour break, and then we're going to go to call our first basketball game of the season, as we're going to be at George Jones Gymnasium, and the Pottsville Apache is going to host the BB
Badgers.
That's right, BB Badgers. So we've got a lot on our plate. Thank God Wednesday's a light day, and we're excited about that. We will see you on Wednesday, actually. You'll be listening to this on Wednesday or watching this on all of the primetime preps and ESPN platforms, SoundCloud, Google Play, YouTube, Facebook, and all of these others that I couldn't even begin to name all of them. But we're going to go ahead and sign off and say so long. So for Bill, I'm Brad, saying so long, and we will talk to you next week.